Now, the Duluth School District decided earlier this month to remove two classic novels from its high school curriculum, in part because of their frequent use of racial slurs. Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird will still be available in school libraries, but won't be taught during class. The Duluth chapter of the NAACP says it supports the move, saying that the novels are a detriment to students of color. Critics say the decision may sanitize history and make students less likely to read the influential books. It's the latest in a long history of the controversy for these novels and how to handle the N-word and other offensive language in the classroom. David Bradley is with us now. He's an award-winning writer of fiction and nonfiction. His works include the novels South Street and The Cheneysville Incident. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, what do you think when you hear a decision like this from a school district saying, hey, we're going to take Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird off of our curriculum?
Well, I mean, one of the questions we always have to ask in schools is, what is the intent of having a given text in the classroom? What are they teaching with it? And what is the sensitivity that children or students are bringing? What level are they teaching? It's a very complicated question. Just to take everything out is sort of what gets newsworthy. But my question is, well, what's the reasoning? What's the intent of having them there in the first place? What's the intent of removing them? If it's just to make the NAACP happy, I don't think that's a very good reason.
The question, if I understand correctly, you have is not so much should we teach these, but how should we teach these? How do we use these in a classroom, and what kind of classrooms are we using it in?
Well, also, why are we teaching it? I mean, the reason that you teach Huckleberry Finn has to do with irony. It has to do with composition issues. The reason the book is influential is because it confronted these issues at an early time in American literature, and many writers have learned from it. If you want to be a writer, it's a good book to read. If that's causing more problems, because now it is a historical book, which means that you have to explain a lot of things, and that may take up a lot of class time. There may be a better way to teach that lesson to non-professionals or to younger students. And, you know, how you teach it is very important, but a real question is, what are our pedagogical goals? Why do we pick any book? Not just the ones that come to our attention because of some political aspect of the book, but, you know, why pick any book? Why is anything on the curriculum?
And you've worked with schools on dealing with these exact issues, including how and when to teach Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird. What kind of questions do you bring to the table? What kind of advice do you give to school districts as they consider how to teach these books?
Well, the first question, especially with Huckleberry Finn, but the first thing is that the book should not be read aloud. Most of the hurt and harm that historically that people going back now 40 and 50 and 60 years talk about is having the word nigger spoken aloud by an authority figure, which makes it seem like it's okay. And that's really the first pedagogical situation. You don't do that. But beyond that, you know, what else do the students know? Do they understand what slavery was? Do they understand that this book is set at a time when every organ of society approved slavery? When Huck says, "I'll go to hell then," he's not just speaking metaphorically. That's really what he believes, because that was the message of the time. Those things have to be taught in order for the book to be understood.
Do you think it is taught that way, usually?
I have had the joyous experience of being in a classroom or a school situation where the history teacher and the history English teacher worked together, shared the students, went back and forth, team taught the class, and those students were able to understand very easily, you know, what was going on, why words were being used, what lynching was about, what those symbols meant. I've also been in, frankly, years later in the same school, where they were reading the book aloud, and students were not only harmed but turned off for good reason. I mean, this is not an easy thing, but just to blanketly say we're not going to do that is an avoidance, and avoidance is how we got into the trouble we're in.
Talking to David Bradley, he's the author of novels including South Street and the Cheneysville Incident. We're talking about Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, and how they fit into a school curricula. This after the Duluth School District said they're taking it not out of the libraries, it's still there, but taking it off the curriculum. David, suppose we are in that English class and we want a book that talks about the use of irony and that illustrates the use of irony, and we don't want to spend time on history. Is that a time to say, hey, maybe Huckleberry Finn isn't the book for the curriculum this time around?
Absolutely. I think that when the teachers sit down, I hope the teachers are the ones who sit down, but the teachers and administration sit down and decide what's going to be on the curriculum, all those the materials should work together. And if that's an aim, then there are other stories by Mark Twain that can teach the same things. If we're talking about the history of literature, however, American literature, there's no substitute. You can't get around the impact of that book. So, we sit back and say, well, how important is it? Is this a class in literary history? Is it a sophomore English class? Is it an AP class? Because if it's an AP class, there's another reason, and that has to do with what's going to be expected of students when they get to college. So there's a very complicated set of questions, and the same answer doesn't apply to every grade, to every student. The other problem, of course, has to do with what's going on in the school or in the community. Duluth has a particular problem with graduating black students. And I think perhaps the desire is to have a quick fix and say, oh, this will solve the problem. But that's not going to make a difference.
Now, suppose the goal of a class is to say, hey, we want a book that talks about racism in the United States and maybe some modern-day lessons. Does Huckleberry Finn, does To Kill a Mockingbird fit into that, or should we be reaching for, something more recent?
Well, it wouldn't be a book. I mean, and that's the other thing, is that books exist in context in any class. I've taught Huckleberry Finn. I've taught it in combination with Frederick Douglass's narrative and also Harper Lee's novel, although there's a problem with Harper Lee's novel in that we don't know exactly what she intended. It got changed in the publication process and fits into 1960 better than I think she intended it to. But anyway, when we surround books with other books, when questions are asked again and again. I mean, Mark Twain knew Frederick Douglass. So their discussion and the conversation that they have through those books is enlightening, and that's education. And sometimes people get upset, and sometimes people have, they don't go home feeling settled. But that's not the aim of education.
I think back distantly to my own high school career. We were in English class for, 50 minutes a day. Is there time to do all of this with Huckleberry Finn and maybe all the other books we want to try to fit in over the course of a year?
Well, again, you're talking the course of a year. So, 50 minutes a day is a long time over the course of a year. If you set out ahead of time and give students an understanding of we're starting someplace and we're going to go someplace else, maybe to use a historical development, maybe to throw in texts or stories that give a different point of view by the same author so you understand what's going on. I mean, one of the things that's beautiful about Huckleberry Finn is that Huck is about the age of high school students. And that means that you can say, okay, what would you do in this circumstances? What would you do if you had this opportunity, once you understand what slavery is about, once you understand what abolition is about, is there anything in your life to a student that corresponds to slavery? Is there anything that you want to speak out against or defend somebody from? It's an interesting question.
We're talking to author David Bradley, looking at books that contain racial slurs but are a part of the American literary heritage. Books like Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird, they were just removed from the curriculum of the Duluth School District. It's been an issue in districts around the country. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think teaching a book like Huckleberry Finn is worth the discomfort some people feel about the language? Is it right for a school district to take it off the curriculum? How should these books be taught? And if you're a teacher, what's your take? If you learned Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, you read them in school, what do you think about how it was handled in your classroom? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We're talking to author David Bradley about whether schools should teach and how schools should teach classic novels like To Kill a Mockingbird and Huckleberry Finn, important parts of American literary history. They raise concerns over the use of racial slurs. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. To your calls now, Jesse is with us in Appleton. Jesse, hi.
Hi there. You know, I think the important thing isn't necessarily whether they should, but definitely the how. I think it depends on how the teachers are presenting the information and whether the teachers are comfortable having those difficult conversations. I think if the teachers plan to just pass by the racial slurs and pass by the language and pretend like it's not there, they definitely are beneficial to just remove it from their curriculum. But if the teacher plans to use it as a learning moment for that classroom and for the kids to start those difficult conversations, it can be very beneficial for everyone.
Jesse, thanks for the call. David, your thoughts?
Well, I'm... On one hand, I want to say, well, that's what teachers do. It's often that you have to deal with material that makes you feel uncomfortable yourself and figure out how to present it objectively. But, you know, an English class is not the right place to deal with teaching racial issues. An English class is a place where you deal with English issues or literature issues or language issues. If a school district wants to actually attack this problem, let's have a class. And that's what the class is about. And it's taught by people who want to confront that issue and who have thought about it. I don't know that we should require every teacher to be able to do that.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Will on the line in Neenah. Will, hi.
Hi, I'm a student at Neenah High School. And at our high school, we were actually reading a lot of these books. And although they do use vulgar language, which we especially consider vulgar today, it really gives a feel for the times.
Well, let me ask you, what was it like when you hit those words? First, were these read aloud in your class?
Well, a lot of what we read was reading it at home and things like that. Mm. However, there were portions which we read in school, and we actually did use the words that were in the book, and we did use certain words like that, and I feel like it just was still able to give a good representation of the overall book's capabilities and really what it means today.
And Will, before I let you go, did you and your teacher have conversations about how those words fit into the time of the book?
Oh, most definitely. Our teacher had a lot of conversations with us about a lot of the language used. Anybody who's read Huckleberry Finn knows that there's a certain diction that goes throughout the entire book, and that is specifically portrayed through a lot of uses of vulgarity as well as more simplistic language.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. David, what do you think about Will's experience with Huckleberry Finn?
That kid's in high school?
Yeah. Pretty sharp, yeah. We're smart people here in Wisconsin.
That was a very sophisticated understanding. I think we have to understand, though, that there are all kinds of kids in a class, and that some of those kids may not be as sophisticated and as able to deal with language that may apply to them. So that, you know, we have to be careful. But, yeah, I mean, that sounds like the ideal experience with this or those books. I'm still not sure what to say about the Harper Lee now that we've seen what she intended originally, which was to do something like what Twain did, which is to put it in historical context.
Will, thanks a lot for that call. And let's take one more call. We've got Justin with us in Appleton. Justin, hi.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think that we could do a real straightforward individual vote throughout the classrooms and the schools, and you'd be able to get a really straightforward answer as to how they feel and whether or not to include it within the curriculum. And I think maybe a lot of people have a nostalgic attachment and they're kind of overdue the disagreement with getting rid of it. But change happens all the time, and we use voting for lots of different things. I think
Justin,
maybe that'd be one way.
Justin, thanks for the call. David, put it to a vote among the students, Justin is saying, about whether to use a particular book.
Well, I don't think that pedagogical decisions can be made by people who are undergoing the pedagogy. I think that you need the authority figures who, to be responsible for choosing the curriculum and deciding what the goals are. What about the kids who are on the losing side of the vote? I mean, they're going to be just as hurt as anybody else. But no, I think that one of the things that has to happen with this material, with all kinds of difficult material, is for the school board, the teachers, the administration, to have a frank exchange of views about what their goals are and why they're doing it, so that it can be explained to students and to teachers, and to parents. But that's the decision that is made by the educators.
David, in our last minute or two, let's step outside the school room. I understand your Huckleberry Finn was an important book for you. Can you talk about its value today and whether we should be reading it, even if we're well past our high school years?
Well, I have a mixed feeling about Huckleberry Finn because I understand why people really don't want to teach it or don't want to talk about it, because it's a subversive book. It asks the question, what do you do when everybody is wrong? When do you say, well, slavery is wrong, even though the Constitution permits it, the Declaration of Independence is silent on it, when, the law protects people who hold slaves and denigrates people who try to free them? What is there in our society that is equivalent to that? And that's a question that it's hard to face even when you're, like I am, in your 60s. How do you feel about the changes that are going on? How do you feel about people who have identity issues and confront you with them? And it's not that you're against them, but, it takes a little adjustment. Huckleberry Finn can help you understand that.
We'll leave it there. David, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That's David Bradley. He's an award-winning writer of fiction and nonfiction. His books include South Street and The Cheneysville Incident. He joined us to talk about the ongoing controversy on whether classic novels containing racial slurs belong in the classroom, and more, how they're taught in the classroom, how they're handled in English class or history class. There's still time to share your thoughts over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.